Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it. Up to $2,000 in value for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan. And iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger. And future stronger you can get started now by saving $28 or more when you join today. You in? We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need to keep stepping it up. And free fitness training to help you mix up your routine. Plus, most clubs are open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends February 28th. See home club for details.
Hello, and thank you so much for joining us for both a fun but a sad day here at the ROH half of the ROH and TNA post show. We've got a lot to get into. If you're a CMLL fan, boy, tonight was the night for you, but get in your super chats, leave a thumbs up on this video, head over to FightfulSelect.com and subscribe. I'm sure Sean will have plenty of Elimination Chamber scoops for you, plenty of information over there also. Our fantastic Discord community is growing over there. There's a tutorial on how to join our Discord if you're a Fightful Select member, because some people were like, what is happening? What is this? We got you covered on that as well. But Sean's Q&A show coming in really valuable this week. Some interesting news on the Ryan Nemeth lawsuit. Sounds like AEW wasn't actually named in that lawsuit as of right now. From what our team looked into, not actually filed with AEW's name on it. So the date that they said it was filed for, not public information, and those things would be. So some good news, too, just when Sean's been popping on post shows like he did last night. I was covering the Dynamite post show with Alex Pulowski yesterday, but a sad programming note on this side. This is going to be our last ROH show for a little bit, for at least the month of March. And it's something we've been toying with for a while, and unfortunately, as of right now, we kind of can't justify keeping this going based on the lack of effort that AEW is putting into ROH. And this is actually a very expensive show to run because we have four hosts, and a lot of hosts are on per appearance payment. So unfortunately, until they start to care about the show, we can't really justify doing a post show about the show. And that sounds kind of harsh, and it absolutely sucks because the talent just deserves so much better. And I know that there's talent that watched the show. And that part sucks for me. I'm still going to be live tweeting about it and stuff, but it's just not justifiable when their main event is two CMLL trios going at it. Like, it's not something that we can do. There's no creative direction for this show. We can't name five men's singles competitors. They can't tell us if the Dark Order is a face or a heel faction. Josh Woods is like one of the most talented guys I've ever seen in a wrestling ring, and he's nowhere to be found. Their champions are constantly getting pinned on AEW television. They think having a title on Chris Jericho is a good idea. Like, there are endless reasons that we come on the show and say the same things week after week. And because we say the same things week after week, there's not a lot of meat on the bone for us to do analysis for. So this is going to take a backseat at least for March, probably longer. If there's a TV deal in place that warrants them getting a creative effort moving forward, as has been rumored, we will absolutely come back with some sort of ROH post show on that front. We will absolutely still be doing pay-per-view post shows as well. I've talked to Sean a little bit about doing short form content like Instagram reels with highlights or things like that. So we're still going to put forth an effort in some way, but it's just Very frustrating because it's a brand that I'm passionate about. There's a lot of talent that I adore. SP3 has been passionate about it for literally decades. We have jokes on the show about how much he's been in attendance for some things. And it really comes to the talent deserving better than the creative effort they're getting. I don't usually get like legitimately pissed about stuff wrestling wise. But like Layla Hirsch not getting her contract renewed pissed me off. Legit Layla, legit not getting resigned because she has so much talent and there are so many members of so many wrestling rosters doing significantly less impressive work than her. And I never want to like name names or wish somebody else's job instead of somebody else's job. I think that's actually really gross. But tonight we had one women's match. It had consequences, which was neat. But like they've pared down the women's wrestling quite a bit. And I was like, Layla Hirsch not getting her contract renewed after the series of matches that she had with Diamante and what she's capable of. Affectionately called Little Lady Taz over here by me. It just goes to show you that like when you do great women's wrestling on a program that they don't give a shit about, it just defaults once again to women having to earn things that men are defaulted to. Like that's always the ecosystem in wrestling. It's exhausting. And it upsets me because with her, I'm like, it's just so obviously not a lack of talent. And I've got complaints about women's wrestling all over the board. And I have a lot of praise for women's wrestling all over the board right now. AEW, their talent rotation has picked up tremendously on the women's side. They're doing better programs, title adjacent than they were. I think Rampage going away certainly hurts because that hour that had a lot of women's wrestling is gone. But out of the four products that AEW has always had, women's wrestling has been most highly featured on 3 and 4, not 1 and 2. And I just feel like the pared down, we're also getting shorter episodes to be fair. But the way women's wrestling has been pared down on ROH is completely symptomatic of this. And if you can't see what Layla Hirsch brings to the table, I don't know what the fuck to do with that. I'm sorry, I don't. Like, how do you not see what is impressive about a woman like Layla Hirsch? How does Serena Deeb have a dojo that is just a giant flag with no students in it? Like, just the slightest bit of effort could be making these Women of Tomorrow stars. I think she brought something that was completely different to the table than anybody else on that roster. I hope she goes on to do great work all over. I think a Japan tour would be so interesting for her. But that actually pissed me off because it doesn't feel symptomatic of like, well, wrong person in wrong environment or anything like that. I feel like Layla Hirsch was on the right brand of wrestling, doing really great work. And they just don't give a shit about the show, SP3. So that's my opening rant. That's our bummer news is that we're going to be going away for a little bit. But SP3... still brings the fire, even though it's like, what, 1 a.m. your time? 2 a.m. your time? What time is it right now?
2 a.m.
2 a.m. your time. And you've already recorded like 47 podcasts today. I'll give you room to say what you want to about Layla Hirsch.
3. this is 4. Layla Hirsch not being re-signed is, yeah, very disappointing because she's someone that we've been very high on and we've talked and we praised her. And earlier today when it was first brought up to me by Jeremy Lambert while we were on In the Weeds, I said she was in probably the most underrated women's match of 2024 with her and Diamante, that Texas Death match at Death Before Dishonor. And she's very talented. She gets the suplexes, she gets the technical side of things. They had done stuff to like boost up her character, whether it be the story with Marina Kanellis or her friendship with Rachel Ellering. She had a nice that nice series of matches with Diamante and one of the better women's rivalries of 2024 for Ring of Honor. And yeah, she got hurt during that Texas Death match. She comes back, she gets the TV title match with Red Velvet. Not a lot of build to that one. She lose kind of awkwardly with Red Velvet going heel in the in the result of that matchup. And then she wasn't really used after Final Battle. And I don't know if that was maybe contract negotiations not going well or not. But yeah, it's just very disappointing because Ring of Honor this time last year was featuring like 2 to 3 women's matches a show. And you had the Ring of Honor Women's TV title tournament that featured a whole bunch of women. And you still have a whole bunch of women that's on AEW's roster that you could probably sprinkle some down to ROH. We literally had a setup 3 weeks ago for a pure rules matchup between Serena Deeb and Queen Aminata. And we've never gotten a follow-up to that. They've never even did a promo. They never told us when that match is going to happen. That match is going to happen at all. It's like they forget things that happen week to week. And I totally understood the decision to go on hiatus because we struggle sometimes to talk about Ring of Honor because there is no effort being shown to the show. There's absolutely no effort. You thought there was no effort on Rampage, that last year of Rampage.
It's adorable, yeah.
Please. That showed way more effort than Ring of Honor the past 6 months. The past 6 months has been ridiculous, and the overall feeling coming out of ROH Final Battle, when you set up things that were supposed to happen, like Billy Starks winning the Ring of Honor Women's World Championship.
For the second time, you set that up and didn't follow through on it, man.
It didn't follow through on it. You got Chris Jericho as Ring of Honor World Champion and just
beating Bandito clean, by the way.
I know. After he cheated to win against Matt Cardona, he cheated to win against Mark Briscoe. I think he cheated to win against Tomohiro Ishii, but he can beat Bandito in his best match since Wrestle Dream, since Mark Briscoe was able to drag Chris Jericho out of having the worst match on every AEW pay-per-view last year. He gave him a good match at Wrestle Dream, and then we had to wait 4 more months for him to have a good matchup, and Bandito was able to do that, and he wins clean. And then he gets to talk about it being one of the greatest collision matches of all time. No, it wasn't. It was a good match. It was just a good match, Chris. No one's saying that. No one is saying that it's one of the greatest collision matches of all time. It's like they're delusional. It's like they're delusional. They're not listening to their fan base. They don't care about the sanctity of Ring of Honor. They don't care about the legacy of Ring of Honor. This is as bad as like fall of 2009 WWE CW. We have really gotten to the depths of that. That is where we're at. Yes. We've gone to the depths of that. Tony Khan should be ashamed of himself. Honestly, this is going to be our final one for a while. I'll just let it out. I'll let it all out.
I hope to
dear God, someone clips this and sends it to Tony Khan because he should be ashamed of himself. You're not a wrestling fan. You're not a wrestling fan. You bought this company off of pure ego because WWE was going to buy it and probably just make it a video library. You kept it alive for 3 more years. You gave us the Briscoes versus FTR rivalry. Thank you for that. But after Jay Briscoe passed away, you stopped caring. You stopped caring about this whole place. To be honest with you, you put a little bit of effort into Athena's title reign, but I'll give most of the credit to Athena for making the title reign something that was memorable, that was actually holding up this whole brand for the past 2 years. But then you just completely have just went off the reservation. You're too focused on AEW, and that's fine. That's fine if you want to focus on AEW. I think you should focus on AEW, but give the pen to somebody else for this place so we can have a little bit of effort. You're telling me the 20 different writers that you say work for AEW, you can't give one of them the book and the pen to book Ring of Honor to be an actual episodic television show that goes week to week, that we remember what happened previously, that you have a division, you have, 400 people under contract, and you can't put 10 of the guys on Ring of Honor TV and actually make up a division for your TV title, for your pure title, for the Ring of Honor World Championship? Why do you have so many singles titles if you don't care about any of them?
It's so mind-boggling too, because of all the brands that feel like clean and easy to book, ROH, the expectations around ROH feel like the easiest because it's just wins and losses. Like, of course, stories as well, But like, of all the American-based promotions and presentations that feel like it would be a slam dunk, you would think it would be ROH, because it is something that has been so in-ring focused, and it's just having guys win into contenderships and having your champions around. It's like the easiest thing. And as far as creative goes, like, you don't need to have kind of the overarching intensity and pressures that come with a lot of American-based television, because the fans are there, I think, primarily for the in-ring product. And as long as the in-ring product makes sense and there's some sort of story being built around it, we're going to be happy campers, man. Like, it's just so insulting to the talent there. And it breaks my heart, because I was like, it feels like the only people that feel fired up about anything, in my estimation, like that they want it, is Shane Taylor Promotions. And I hesitate to say that because I don't want this to be misconstrued in any way. When I say that, I mean, they're the only ones going out there assertive in that they are headed towards something or are fighting for something or whatever. I don't think any other talent has the chance to look hungry or be able to deliver like any sort of performances with any passion. And because this is a completely aimless product, it's an absolute joke. It's so frustrating to come on here every week and talk about our favorite, one of the most historically most important promotions in all of wrestling that is responsible for turning out so many key talent, and just have to do this, just have to be bummed and disappointed when there's so many talent that deserve so much better, so much better. And for this product too, like, it's we've seen what happens when they do care, right? And so the fact that they just clearly don't breaks my heart. It really, really breaks my heart as a fan, because, man, that first batch of tapings in Orlando had me fired up. The Texas tapings, when they were stationary, I was like, we're on track again. I got to get out of this abusive relationship at some point, okay? If they're going to keep treating me like this, I got to get out. And Matthew Hook's bringing up a great point. They have ROH legends walking around backstage. Let them help out. But this is, I think, so much of the issue is the collision leftover aspect. And SB3, when you messaged me and you were like, we did Adam Priest and Beast Mortos on February 1st.
They literally did the same matchup. They literally, I watched the YouTube clip that I sent Kate after that match, and it literally was the same moves being done when they're literally repeating matches. And don't even mention that they just faced each other. Like, it's like they're trying to hide the fact that this just happened. So they put it on a different show and just dress it up a little bit. They're wearing a little bit different gear. The aesthetics around it is a little bit different. That's the only thing that changed. It literally was the same thing. And literally, I knew what this show was going to be when they did the rundown, and I immediately messaged Kate. I was like, they're literally doing CMLL in English. That's all they did. They just did CMLO in English. No, nothing has any meaning. Nothing is leading to stuff. It's just embarrassing. It's like, do you even care? Do you even realize that there are people that's paying money for the subscription service to watch this stuff? Do you want a TV deal?
The most amount of money, the highest paid subscription service in wrestling is this. And I know it's for the library and the pay-per-views. I'm aware that that's the built-in value. But it's just a freaking joke when I look at this card and I say, okay, there was a six-man that involved Rocky Romero, who's technically signed, but mostly doing a backstage role and supplemental talent when needed. Lady Frost is here. Beast Mortos and Adam Priest was 4-0. The Infantry got a win, which was nice to see, but against two people that aren't really a tag team in this division. Blake Christian gets a win over Fuego del Sol. What the is he headed toward? Dark Panther versus Gravity, both unsigned talent. Our main event, all unsigned talent. What the hell are you doing with these tapings? Also, this was from like a month ago. These matches are from like a month ago. This was back in Texas.
Yeah.
Rafael Garcia saying, don't be sad, today's Pokemon Day. In honor of that, who is your favorite Pokemon and which wrestler reminds you of one? I don't even follow Pokemon. I couldn't even name you more than three. And I'm not going to sit here and be a fake fan. I'm not going to be like, I love Pokemon. And you're like, oh yeah, name your top five Pokemon. And I can't do it.
I think I can name five. My favorite. Yeah, Jigglypuff.
Jigglypuff, Pikachu.
Yeah, that counts.
Legend.
Yes, Legend, Pikachu. Detective Pikachu. There is Charmander.
I don't know their game, but I am familiar with Charmander.
Yeah, Charmander is my favorite. Charmander is my favorite because that was the first Pokemon card that I got when I had. I used to be a Pokemon card collector. I even had a book. I had a book with plastic where I put my Pokemon cards, and I used to battle people with the Pokemon card. I used to wake up at 7 a.m. in the morning, and this was back when I didn't need alarm clocks. My mom would just basically move me from my bed to the couch where I would just be sleeping, and how she would wake me up is turn on channel 11 at 7 a.m. And then I would hear, I want to be the very best because no one ever loves. And I would just wake up. That was like my alarm clock. And then I would just start singing the song. Pokemon to understand. The power that's inside Pokemon, gotta catch 'em. It's you and me. You bring out the best in me, Pokemon. Oh, you're my best friend in a world that never ends. And if I had to compare a wrestler to, if I said a wrestler that reminded me of a Pokemon, I would probably say Billy Starks, especially on that in that Mercedes Moné segment backstage. She kind of was like a Pokemon.
I am there for it. My non-alarm clock alarm clock was when I was like a kid in the Yankee Dynasty era. My parents would be like, you're in fourth grade. You can't stay up till 10 p.m. watching baseball games. And I was like, no problem, Mom. I'll go to bed at 9, 8 o'clock, whatever. But I would set my clock radio to WFAN 1430 and listen to Kay and Sterling, and I would fall asleep that way. But because I would fall asleep with it on the alarm clock setting, my alarm wouldn't go off, or on the like AM radio setting, my alarm wouldn't go off. So my parents would like come in, prod me awake, and I would be listening to whatever like 1430, like probably really aggressive white dudes talking about sports is what I would wake up to during baseball season.
Just angry.
Like in the Mad Dog just yelling about somebody's bullpen or some shit. But
oh my god, Mad Dog is hilarious. He still is. He's
so this is what a legend Mad Dog is. We'll talk about the show at some point. I'm all piss and vinegar tonight, but I interned at Sirius when Mad Dog started his show there. And my recording booth that I would go to was like, it had like an all glass office, like very modern open building. And so I would walk by Chris Russo, Mad Dog, all the time. And like my second day there, I'm walking by him. He has his like ridiculous Argyle sweater on and like some salmon colored button down under it and his pleated khakis and loafers. And he's just going ballistic to somebody else who is cracking up. And I just see him knock a thing of fence over on whatever rant he was going on. It was incredible. It was incredible.
He's an inspiration to us podcast ranters out here. Chris Russo, like shout out to him, Mad Dog. One of my all time favorites. I didn't realize that
was like primer for me being Alex's co-host. Like,
there you go. I did not know you interned at Sirius FM. Look at this. Look at this. Look at her. Look at her. Look at her over here.
I hate that we're just discovering so much about each other on our last stream here for a while. But Taylor Cannon saying, hello, Kate and SP3. Hope you both had a wonderful Thursday. I hope you guys do more streams together at some point. I really enjoy your streams. SP3's not getting away from me that easily. Okay. I'll tell you what I will be doing at some point, whether Jeremy wants it or not. I'm a Temptation Island gal. Okay. I'm going to be on FMC at some point talking some Temptation Island because here's what happened. All right. I'm not like a big reality TV show gal, but when Temptation Island was on after SmackDown, I got tempted and I got really into the show, and then it went away for a while and then it came back. And I was like, is this it still the same garbage that I loved then? And I was like, oh my God, it's even better. And then they took it away again and I was heartbroken, and Netflix was like, we're going to reboot the reboot. And then Jeremy was also into Temptation Island, thank God, because nobody else in my life is. And we're just waiting for them to announce when it was coming back. And finally, they announced that it'll be coming back in March. And he was like, that was always like my WrestleMania work reward, was like, it would be like, get through WrestleMania and then Temptation Island would come out. And I could just take up space with this stupid show and not think about wrestling.
We all need some trash reality in our lives to basically wash away some of the wrestling that we watch and all my angst about Ring of Honor. It's always good when I wake up on Friday morning, now that I'm here in the UK. It would be right after, if I was in the US, it would be right after the Ring of Honor review. I would just turn on my TV and watch Traitors, because I'm a big murder mystery mark. And that's like the best, that's like the best reality show ever. Just a whole bunch of reality TV stars coming to a mansion with Alan Cummings wearing some of the most ridiculous outfits and the greatest outfits you will ever see. Legend himself. And yeah, in the round tables with people arguing, causing sus to one another. You had Bob the drag queen roasting people, roasting Zac Efron's brother, saying that his brother is not a good actor, and saying that he is Bob the drag queen from RuPaul's Drag Race calling Dylan Efron, saying that his drag name is Misguided. He welcome to the stage, Misguided. One of the greatest lines ever said on a trash reality show. Kate, you need traitors in your life.
I do, because I want a reality show to get away from reality. But
absolutely.
To Taylor's point, SB3 has been so wonderful since coming on board at Fightful, and he's been incredible about being available to substitute for me, for people on the Collision Post show. We will definitely be crossing paths again with great intentionality, because I love, part of why I've hung in there this long with Ring of Honor is I just love doing this with SP3. Like, it's a very fun show. I love doing it with Reg too. It was so much fun. But like, if I had a co-host that was less fun, I would have given up on this a while ago, quite frankly. So we will definitely be back. In once the controversy from him releasing a list dies down, I'll be seen on screen again.
Can I just say I love doing these lists now.
You're now on the Kevin McVaney train, like you you're on the PWI train now.
I swear to God, I love it, because I hear some of the most ridiculous arguments. I love reading the quote tweets. I don't respond to a lot of them. I had to respond to one today because it was from an SI writer. So
that was from great. An SI writer?
He's a writer for an NFL writer for the Tennessee Titans. And yes, he
There's
died
not even
on
tea in here, but we're gonna sip some tea right now.
He died on a hill for a sex trafficker. Oh my God. That's one of the funniest exchanges I've ever had. I don't usually read quote tweet people in response. I usually just put it in the comments, have an exchange in their comment section, because I don't want to put that filth on my timeline. But sure. I had to quote tweet some of his responses, because it's like, oh my God, you question the credibility of my list for this.
This is the hill you're going to die on?
This is the hill you're going to die on. Person that wrestled three times in WWE, and someone who auctioned off women's wrestler for sexual misgivens. Oh my God. And
that's
then,
good,
and
then, actually.
Because he tried to question me, because, oh, you don't hold the men to the same level. And I hate Hulk Hogan. I hate Hulk Hogan, but I did a top 20 greatest WWE list. And I'm like, Hulk Hogan, racist, did not auction off any woman. So here you go. You can be on the list. Just because you're a racist doesn't mean I can't discount you. But if I had to rank the greatest promoters in WWE in wrestling history, guess what? Vince McMahon would not make the list, because
there
he's a second. That's the line I'm willing to draw. I'm not willing to draw a line on racism. I take my personal bias out of it, but I am willing to draw a line for sex traffickers. If there's anything you're going to learn from me, that's what you learned today.
There you go. It is also like Hulk Hogan's impact is just beyond undeniable on wrestling too. So it's like, it doesn't make any of his behavior more justifiable, but it would be like, you came up with a great list outside of that. it would be like remiss to leave him out in a way. Like the scales are just a little different. I loved your list. I would have probably found a way to put AJ Lee in there, but I was like, other than that, just a great list. So
yeah, I literally, my good friend Jimmy Macaram did get on me for a Lunger Blaze because he felt like Rhea Ripley deserved to be on the list. And I said, I said it on AE Ramble earlier. I'll say it here. A Lunger Blaze was the one where I went back and forth. I talked to my missus. Sure. I was like, who is the people you think it would be on the list? She said like Sable and stuff like that because she hasn't watched since 99. So she's like, sure. Sable and stuff like that. I had my other friends that were, you know, Jimmy said Rhea Ripley. I had other people that were like, the Bella Twins. And I was like, yeah, the Bella Twins. And I included AJ Lee, the Bella Twins, in my honorable mentions. But I was like, Alundra Blaze made Vince McMahon bring back the woman's title after a 5-year hiatus. I'm sorry. That's what got her on the list. She made Vince.
So fair. The other thing that's so tricky about this discussion, we'll start reviewing ROH at some point, I promise.
We could do that in half an hour. So you're having fun.
Yeah, we're good. We're good. The other thing, there's a couple things that are tricky. I find it very difficult when creating like lists of things to include current active wrestlers as all timers, even if it's obvious that they are, or like ones that are, especially ones that are in their prime, like Rhea Ripley right now. I'm like, yes, she's probably an all timer, but I know she has so much work to do. So I feel like I can't even adequately rank her yet, because she's still in the midst of it all, right? Like, even like Mercedes Sasha Banks had accomplished so much already in this time, that it's like she's still got a lot of work to do, but she's already, I mean, a decade of legendary work already, at least, right? So it's tough with the ones that are still wrestling. And it's also hard because you feel like you have to have representatives from all eras, even if...
Yes.
Those eras were not friendly to women's wrestling, right? So it's like hard to be like people from the Divas era because they were mostly doing 3-minute matches with hair pulling. Like they sucked, but like you don't want to box out an entire era of women's wrestling. So it's actually a very like tricky thing to, you almost have to have a strategy of how you're going about your list and then fill it in, which is tough.
It is always the toughest thing, but I was very proud of my work, and I appreciate all the nice words that I got today from other people. And Becky Lynch retweeted, shared my post. So I don't care what anybody says. Y'all can't tell me nothing. I felt like Kanye West. Nobody
can tell you shit today, man. That rules.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. Instead, go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI and a watch and tab on any plan. Only on Verizon.
With new line on my plan. Service plan required for watch and tab. Additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
It's over. I don't care. I don't care what some random NFL writer tells me. I don't care.
I do love that it was an NFL writer. That makes it even better.
It does.
Seemingly, like, we don't know these people, but like, what a seeming gem of a human being, Rebecca Lynch. Seems to be, sincerely, just seems like a very down-to-earth person, but feeling dreepy, throwing us into the review part. We've been putting it off for like a half hour, but saying it has been said to death, but somebody else needs to book ROH other than Tony Khan if he's not going to give it focus. Give it to someone who cares. So I'd seen something that said, like, just shut it down. Half-assing it is worse than this. And I disagree with that because I think the more jobs in wrestling, the better, right? Like, I'm always on the side of, how about you just make it good instead? And
you know, that is an option. You don't have to, like, just grab it all together. You can just give it to someone who will care and can just care about that. That doesn't need to do anything in AEW. Sure. Because
it doesn't even need to be just weekly episodic. You know what I mean? Like, you could figure out other formats. You could do seasons of Ring of Honor or whatever. But, like, they do... The talent deserves to not be this much of an afterthought. I'll put it that way. But Hell, if you liked CMLL, I was like, I should have had Luis Polito be the one to host this episode. But I'm not as familiar with CMLL talent. I don't love that about myself. I wish I could keep up on CMLL and Stardom better than I do. But this was very heavily a CMLL crossover episode, a CMLL dominant episode, I would even say. But we do start with one of our two trios matches that ends with Rocky Romero taking a clever little pin in this. Nice to see Rocky in action always. Some fun spots in there. Just hard for me to get invested when this wasn't for anything. However, if there's a style that can grab you in a superfluous series of matches, it is this style of wrestling. Like, it is lucha wrestling, and there's a lot of diversity within the lucha wrestling that we saw tonight. Like, Dark Panther did not feel like any of the guys in this match. You had a legacy stable on one side with this too. This was very, very fun. What did you think of our opening match here?
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed this one mostly because it was something not attached to the regular Ring of Honor show. So I was able to kind of just detach and just enjoy it for what it was. It was nice lucha fun. You had Gran Guerrero in there, Euphoria, Espinage, Fiego, who was just doing flips. He just came into the ring, started doing flips. You had Atlantis Senior. I was really disappointed he wasn't accompanied to the ring by Atlantis Morissette. MXM Collection lied to me. this was a fine matchup. I think that we got the much better version of this matchup in the main event. That main event was probably one of the best Honor Club matches we've ever seen because it was just nonstop lucha. It was just lucha fun. Yeah, this is awesome chance. The crowd was into this. The crowd in Texas was the right crowd for those CMLL matches and for Fiego. Fiego got a huge response on this show. So this was one of the better Ring of Honor shows because it wasn't a Ring of Honor show. It was a CMLL show.
And this matchup was, in particular, both the opener and the main event had very little ROH talent really involved in any way, shape, or form. So, but we will move along. Guys, thanks for the super chats and humper chats. A lot more of you watching now than were at the beginning of the show. Bummer. We're going to be on hiatus in March and maybe longer. Good news is you guys have been generous with your super chats this episode so far. So keep those coming if there's anything you want to talk about. We are going to continue along in our ROH review. We talked about nothing for the first half hour, but we're just diving into the ROH side of things. We'll also ask you to leave a thumbs up and we'll ask you to subscribe to this YouTube channel as well. I hit up Sean Rossap the other day. And I said, hey, don't know if you saw it, but we're at 130,000 followers. I like when we get to those round numbers.
Yeah.
And he said, we don't hang banners for fourth place, Kate. And I thought that was aggressive and not very considerate of the 130,000 people that subscribe to this YouTube channel. So I said, I appreciate you, 130,000 people that subscribe to this YouTube channel. And I would appreciate if that number went even higher. So if you aren't subscribed, please do. For the utmost clarity as well, the TNA post show will be continuing throughout March and for the foreseeable future. They've got a lot going on with this partnership, so you will still have Joel and Cresta all over the place. But LaRon Ford, thank you for this generous chat saying, hi, Kate. Hi, SP3. Had to send in a super chat to show some love before the show goes on hiatus. SP3, I think this is the third podcast I've seen you on today. Get some sleep, Jude. Well, this is his fourth one of the night. So, right?
Fourth one.
And LaRon, why didn't you watch all four?
We probably missed In the Weeds. Maybe it was too early in the morning. So I did like a shift. I did basically two things. I was taking care of my kids at the same time, writing for Wrestle Talk this morning. Well, which is like the dawn, the crack of dawn for most of y'all. Started at 5 a.m. Eastern time, which was like 10 a.m. here. I worked until like 3 o'clock. Then I did in the weeds at 3 o'clock here. Then I had a break, a half an hour break, because we did In the Weeds went like a half an hour longer because my list came out. So me and Jeremy broke down my list. that was the first time some people saw my list there. So we went a half an hour more. Then I had a half an hour off, spent some time with the family again. Then I was like, okay, I'll be gone for like 3 hours. So I did AE Ramble for 2 hours with Jimmy McAram. And then I went right into doing the Elimination Chamber preview with Stephanie Chase, which went on longer than it was supposed to, because I love doing podcasts with Stephanie Chase. And I convinced her to pick John Cena, because my John Cena booking idea for Elimination Chamber is immaculate. I don't care what anybody says. It needs to happen. If Paul Levesque doesn't do what I say to do, I'm going to be very upset, like all of y'all are.
Well, there you go. That's also like a good little trailer of why you should go watch that that prediction show, but missed in the weeds. Fake fan! I'm completely kidding. I appreciate you so much for supporting us and Fightful.
LaRon is awesome because he's so awesome that he's in our chat so often that Jimmy McAram literally remembers him as the Mercedes Moné fan. So if he is upset with Mercedes Moné, he calls out LaRon Ford, even if he's not in the chat. He's like, where's LaRon Ford?
This one's on LaRon. I love it.
I love it.
Let's keep rocking and rolling to this ladies match between Catalina and Lady Frost. I really liked this match. I thought they had awesome match pacing, and I thought their chemistry was off the charts. This was so much fun. When Lady Frost has everything put together like this, like when she's in her wheelhouse of opponents, she's so much fun to watch. She's always fun to watch. But this was like, I got murder gymnastics, and I've got an opponent who can sell for what I do, who can take a lot of my moves, who can, like, she's so impressively fast and hard-hitting that when she has an opponent where there's beats in between a lot of kind of the sequences they put together, I love when her matches kind of have layouts that tailor to that. I had a blast with this. I thought this was one of my favorites of the night. And it had somebody that's on ROH in it. So, yeehaw.
There's something there. I will say that watching this matchup, I immediately had the thought. I was like, this is the best women's match that they've had on Honor Club, probably since Athena versus Abaddon in that crazy no DQ matchup that they had. That's like the last really good Honor Club, just Honor Club, not like an ROH pay-per-view.
Think like if Red Velvet's, like her last defense, I felt like was good, but I feel like this but was like, hell yeah. Yeah.
This was better. Like La Cantanina, she was in there doing the lucha spots. You had Lady Frost doing a sky twister press, a cross body press at one point.
Then yeah, that was crazy.
Yo, I was like, La Cantanina finish off the matchup so smoothly. She does one move and then just goes immediately to the top rope, and she just does this like sideways splash that looked great. Like, this was a really strong matchup, and I came out of it like, yeah, La Catalina should get a shot at the Ring of Honor Women's World Championship. So even though we're not going to be doing the show next week, I will be watching that Athena versus La Catalina matchup, because I'm looking forward to it after her performance here.
Hell yeah. And I definitely will still be keeping up with Ring of Honor the best I can. I'm not going to lie, I'm not mad about having a day off, especially in this series of, like, we have Elimination Chamber, and then we have Revolution, and we've got WrestleMania and Dynasty. Like, this is an insane sprint of shows as well. So not mad about having Thursdays off from post shows, but I'll be watching that match. I'll be keeping up on the product for sure. And like I said, we'll see if maybe there's a way to bring you some fun short form content. But Cyclops is better than Wolverine saying, I watch In the Weeds while high on weed in the morning. I love that. You're in the weeds on the weed. And we love that. That's a
love
great,
that
what a great way to start the morning.
Word.
SP3 and Jeremy Lambert all day. All day.
Me ranting about how much I love Ricochet as a heel. So that's a good way.
That guy. What? So I said this yesterday. Actually, we'll do this. Me Norma says, last night I had an inappropriate amount of wings and slept through the post-Dynamite show. Let's crank. The Outrunners should be ROH tag champs after the Hurt Syndicate murders them. Meet forever partners. So, Alex Plowski and I had a very long discussion about this because he is an Outrunners hater. And
he is.
I understand why he doesn't like them, but I also think they very much have an appropriate place in this story. But I do think that appropriate place in the story is the Hurt Syndicate, like, mostly murdering them and not having the most competitive match. But I would like to see, this is a thing, like, I'm getting a little burned out, but they're doing such a good job of turning the product around. I'm trying to have patience for it. Like, oh, a fun Outrunners vignette and then a match. Like, they're in the title picture, but the outcome's pretty inevitable on that, right? So, like, then what happens with the Outrunners? Because it does feel like there's a ceiling on this character. What you just said about Ricochet, though, I had this thought yesterday, like, that feud between Swerve and Ricochet, I feel like, has been so fundamentally important to AEW programming, because they did so much resetting around it. Like, so much stuff feels new and on track and better and, like, way fresher programming than we were getting. But this feud has stood the test of time from when it started. And I feel like almost everything around it looks a lot different. And If that feud hadn't been anchoring stuff, like, I don't know if the reset around it would have gone as smoothly as it has. So I give them a lot of credit for that.
100% agree with you. I thought it was hilarious that AEW decided to give Outrunners their win because they were on SportsCenter. That's basically my headcanon, because they showed the clip on Dynamite. So I was like, oh, so you just gave them the win because they were on SportsCenter. That's nice, Tony. That was nice of you to put over the more over team. I just wish you would have done that in Ring of Honor. I literally got into an argument, like a two-day argument with someone. Apparently, there's a Son of Texas fan out there who just decided to argue with me for like 2 days. Me and Auntie Collins, shout out to her, just decided to argue with us, saying that Sons of Texas have legitimized. They defended the titles in the Tokyo Dome. I was like, it was a pre-show match. Against the House
against
of Torture.
The least popular stable there.
She was like, when was the last time a Ring of Honor tag team champion defended at the Tokyo Dome? I mean, this was the first time that they did a co-promotional show with Ring of Honor and AEW. So, I mean, probably any team would have defended the titles at this show.
Oh my God. And like, like, House of Torture isn't, like, a legendary tag team. You know what I mean? There's not...
his term was historic. It was a historic title defense for them because it was the first time at the Tokyo Dome. Because historic means first time. It doesn't mean, you know, good.
I mean, technically, they're right. Technically, this is a historic episode of podcasting because it's going to be our last one for a month. But like, I don't know, man. Hey, you want to know what's historic? Watching a match on the first day of February and watching a match the second to last day of February and it being basically the same match, man. If you had told me that they just took AI and changed Adam Priest's pants from black to blue and the banners from Collision to ROH and just said this was the exact same match, I would have believed you. Because the way the spots were produced were almost identical. They have a blind spot. It's so funny to say this on an episode that was basically a CMLL episode. They have a blind spot with Hispanic talent. They just do. Like, there's nobody that feels like they're an appropriate contendership for a title. The one Hispanic talent that is holding a title is getting pinned clean on Collision. They've lost two really great Hispanic tag teams in Proud and Powerful and the Lucha Brothers to bad booking. Like, they really don't know how to capitalize. Like, Hologram seems to be doing well, but I can't say he's in anything that's super important. Beast Mortos is not in anything that's super important, even though he's super over. They've got to get their luchadors on track. And, like, Commander having this amazing emotional moment, and then anytime you see him on AEW television, he's just losing clean as a champion, sucks. this was funny because you literally, I'll just say it, like, you messaged me and were like, hold up. I thought I saw this before. And you were like, yeah, I watched it on Collision. And it was basically produced exactly the same, to the point where when I was, I split screened it. Like, I went and watched the clip you sent and then watched this. And I was like, it's almost agented the same. And they would have done the same match. Like, hey, this is from the Texas tapings, which was a month ago, right?
Yeah.
So, like, did they just do the same match twice? Is it like when you go see ice skating and somebody falls, and then if it's not a live show on the reshoot, they're like, go out there and do a triple axel and we'll edit it in? Because that's what this was. Like, this, and to be clear, the match is really good. I actually really liked it. I think Adam Priest is incredibly clever. And Beast Mortos was just like, nah, I'm a little too powerful for your cleverness. Like, it's all cute until you run into me and then I hurt you. Which is pretty impressive to do because he's not the biggest dude in the world, but he does feel like he's going to hurt you. So I liked the match. I just watched it twice in a row now. Like, I don't know. I don't know. Any thoughts you have on this? Again, you might have reviewed that Collision episode for us, for all I know.
I'm pretty sure I didn't, because I think that was the Collision that aired the same night as the Royal Rumble, and yeah. I was too busy celebrating Luka Doncic being traded to the Los Angeles Lakers to review anything. So, this happened again. Beast Martell's is really over, and I don't know what they're going to do with that. And I don't think they're going to do anything with that, but I hope so.
That would be neat. I do try to remind myself that, like, the past month of AEW programming has been a heater, and I'm hoping that trickles down to more aspects of it. But, like, that's a perfect example, right? Like, I understand things like not having Harley Cameron win against Mercedes Moné. I don't understand, hey, this guy's been white hot for 4 months. Let's not do anything with him. Like, I don't get that. I felt that way, by the way, about LA Knight and WWE. I was like, are they just going to run out how white hot this guy is and give him no titles? And then they finally did. But I was like, they're really lucky the crowd didn't just eventually wane on that.
Yeah, and we see how well that's going right now. You got to strike while the iron is hot. And I think that's the issue with AEW a lot of times. If they don't strike while the iron is hot, and then they try to strike while it's like 4 months old, like it's been off the heater for a while, like the Outrunners winning last night. So, like, yeah, they do stuff like that. That's very weird. It's like, you could have done this like 4 months ago when they were actually hot, but you decided to do it when they're just not.
Yeah, like the Outrunners thing I get, because I think they're a fan favorite and the Hurt Syndicate ruining them is going to make people. And I get that the Hurt Syndicate kind of feel more like tweeners now because the fans just love what they're doing. But I feel like that still serves a purpose. You know what I mean? But
yeah. But I'm just saying, like, you're telling
in
me
general,
you couldn't have the Outrunners win the Ring of Honor World Tag Team titles. Like, that, I will continue to harp on that.
Sure.
Like, if we're going to get mid-tag team title matches, which majority, other than that one, what was it, like a Texas Death Match they had with the Kingdom on an episode of Collision, there hasn't been any, like, really a dozen great tons of Texas matches. I've always said, you should probably put over the team that is more over, and the Outrunners are more over than they're still more over than the Sons of Texas. So they should probably be the champions. If we're going to get mid matches against House of Torture, I'd rather it be the Outrunners getting mid matches.
I just realized these were Texas tapings and they weren't even out there.
Sons of Texas, not in Texas. Didn't the Von Erichs just return, like, last week?
Yeah, and they didn't even come back to the trios picture, by the way. Sammy Guevara, I know you have a hot wife and a baby. I get it. Okay?
He's making some good Instagram videos with Ty.
He's making great Instagram videos. I cannot wait for Tay Mello to come back. I'm actually, like, very, very, very genuinely excited. Guys, get in your super chats and humper chats. Pour one out for this show, because this is going to be the last episode, and we are punchy, but we will be back for pay-per-views. We're going to see how things look at the end of March, and we might come back if there's more creative effort put into it, but here's one thing that I'm going to miss reviewing, and that is Shane Taylor Promotions / The Infantry. Man, this heel stuff is so much freaking fun with The Infantry. Like, the tandem offense that they bring, I love how heelish they are without being, they don't back down because they're The Infantry and they're a part of Shane Taylor Promotions who doesn't back down. So like the aggression in the tandem offense, I love, because I feel like a lot of tandem offense is completely about being a little sneaky and catching people off guard if it's not like choreographed punishment spot. But the ways in which they help each other out, it's just like identifying different ways that you can lay in pain on somebody. Easily could tell they were going to win this against Jimmy Wild and Rosario Grillo, who nice to see him back around. So the inevitability of this, of course, always kind of taking some of the fun out of it, but I really love how much energy and fire they bring to stuff. I said earlier, like, they're kind of the only group that feels like they really want something on this show. Again, I don't think that's the fault of other talent at all. I don't think they know what they're fighting for. But I do think, like, the fact that they're, it's not like their booking's been great, but they go out there with the same care for their matches every single time. And as a fan, I just appreciate when that's so visible, right? Like, I appreciate how much passion they have just for what they're doing. So really fun just to see them continue to click, continue to vibe. Shane Taylor just looks cool as hell. I love what we're getting here, but what did you think of this match?
They gave them a lot more than I thought they were going to give them. Like, they had a little hope spot and a hot tag by Wild in here. But this is why The Infantry are good in this position, because they can give a little bit more to these kind of like the jobbers. And it's a little bit more than just a squash match. But in the end, they look dominant. And like you said, like, Shane Taylor Promotions has been a bright spot on Ring of Honor television. The bright spots on Ring of Honor television over the last like couple of like the last year has been Shane Taylor Promotions when Mark Briscoe was here cutting promos, Athena and Billy Starks, that story until Final Battle, and Beef. I miss Beef. Damn Beef.
Yeah, Beef's been, see, they don't even want us to review this show. They're taking Beef away from us.
I just,
they're like,
remember,
we don't care about SB3. Like, that's the most heel thing that ROH could do as a promotion, is like keep Beef away from TV for you. But
kept me away from Beef.
Laurent saying, why hasn't Taya Mello been on TV? Isn't she cleared? Yes, she wrestled in Japan. I'm hoping it's because they are trying to do things with intentionality for wrestlers. Like, this women's division kind of just got back on track and rotating talent. I've long said that I think Serena Deeb's dojo should have students and not just a big flag. While I respect the giant flag, as I should, students would be better, because a dojo without students is, first of all, not a profitable business model. But second of all, not an effective stable or act, for sure. I think she'd fit in awesome in something like that. But she is cleared, to my knowledge. I think they're just probably picking a spot for her.
Yeah.
But we've got the Vanilla Baby versus Fuego del Sol, who's kind of been hinting that he's not going to be in the ROH AEW picture very much. I don't know if he got WWAD'd or what the deal is, but he's been saying on social media that this might be his last go there for a while in a positive light. So if he's moving on to something that is productive for his career, I'm happy for him. That's awesome. This match was very fun. Blake Christian's great. The pop that Fuego del Sol gets in Texas is always wonderful. But I love Blake Christian winning with the Muda Lock here. I also just love, like, Fuego went for some top rope offense, as he does, and he just, like, grabbed his leg out from under him. It's just, like, such a, what a shitty heel thing to do. Like, he's great. He's so locked in on this version of him. And I would love to know if he was going to be building toward a title shot at any point. That would be neat. But, you know, we're not going to be doing this review show anymore, so I can just wonder that in peace moving forward.
I will say my favorite spot of the matchup is Vanilla Baby doing a kip up just to fall back into the ropes to not crotch him. That was great. That was great. And I love Vanilla Choke Zero. That's like the best finishing move name in the game. This was a lot of fun. This was so much more fun than it would have been anywhere else. Texas being into Fago, being into all his spots. Fago doing the flipping DDT off the ropes was a lot of fun. And yeah, but Vanilla Baby should keep picking up wins. And whenever they do a Super Card of Honor, who knows? They'll probably announce it at the beginning of March. We'll see. It should be Vanilla Baby and Commander.
I like that. I like that idea a lot. I would love to see him going after the pure title, but we'll wait to see if they mix it up another time. Cyclops saying Shane Taylor Promotions better than Jim Crockett Promotions. Very, very different, but I'm not going to argue with it. I'm not going to argue with it. I dropped a scoop in the private chat for you, SP3, just so you know. I don't know if you saw.
That's awesome. That pod's huge.
Well, this is something I was expecting to like a lot more than I initially did, just from a lack of familiarity with Dark Panther. Like, I'm not that familiar with his game, and I am now, because his match with Gravity was really fun. He wins with the single shot drop kick, and what a special wrestler. Like, someone that I'm definitely going to go check out more of, because I really didn't know a ton about him, but I love his size. I love the way that he moves. Gravity is fine. People were excited to see him again, it seemed like. I think he's got some growing to do, for sure, but like, this was kind of more of a showcase for Dark Panther, and it worked. Like, I was really hooked by this guy's, I'm going to say the A word, aura. And I appreciated what we saw out of him tonight. He moves a lot different than a lot of kind of like luchadors, especially the ones that were presented on this episode of CMLL that definitely wasn't an ROH episode. So I had fun with this because it felt like more of a talent discovery thing for me than much else, honestly.
Yeah, Dark Panther has a certain amount of charisma to him that is gonna be good. If he is making regular appearance on Ring of Honor, he could get over as a heel. And they kind of teased that with him getting the win as Commander was watching on. So maybe we get an ROH TV title match between the two, which I would love to see, because Commander's gotten really good as well. But yeah, Dark Panther is very talented, and I think he has a bright future ahead of him. And Gravity was also here.
That is true.
He also wrestled.
Guys, we're going to bring on the TNA crew very shortly. So get in your last licks, possibly ever, for Super Chats and Upper Chats. We will be off for March. We will be here for pay-per-views. And stay tuned to our Instagram and stuff. I'm going to see if there's ways that we can keep you updated on ROH outside of the traditional post-show format. But we will be bringing on the TNA Impact group shortly, but not before we quickly talk about this six-man to close us out. Another CMLL showcase that happened for reasons. Your thoughts? This was
awesome. I loved every minute of this. This was really my fun. The Mascarero Dorado might be my favorite luchador, because he just does the craziest dives. He's flying everywhere. It's ridiculous. It's always fun. Atlantis Jr. showed way more effort in this matchup than he did in his ROH TV title reign. He was aiming at,
so that helps.
Templario did a spin-a-rooney at one point, which was cool. I didn't even know he does that. He literally did a spin-a-rooney to make a hot tag. That was great. that popped me so much. Silverado Jr. Might be my favorite heel luchador, because he just plays to the crowd so well, whether it's in Arena Mexico, whether it's here in Texas, and him just getting tossed in the air for a flipping powerbomb just totally set this crowd on fire in Texas. They were just like, this is awesome. This is crazy. And then you got Volador Jr. doing Hurricane Ratas off the top. Magnus looked good in there. Everybody looked good in here. This was one of the better Honor Club matches, and I am honored that this is the last match that I could talk about from Honor Club, because they let us off, they let us go out on a bang. At least this was a great match.
Yeah, the finish here being the Atlantic Splash from Atlantis Jr. onto Magnus, pretty cool stuff that Atlantis Jr. and Atlantis were on here. Also, Double Fuegos cracked me up because we just had Fuego in the opener and also Fuego del Sol. And that doesn't even include Fuego 2, honestly. So, but that is us signing off for the foreseeable future. We will, of course, be back for the pay-per-views. We never have complaints about the pay-per-views, really. They're always pretty solid. But the weekly television, if they give us a reason to invest in it, we'll certainly be back. But not for the month of March. We'll see what is to come. But we're going to bring on Joel and Cresta, who get to talk about Obafemi and the Hardys pairing up, because 2025 is wild. What's going on, guys?
Joel got
buzzed. I did. I got buzzed.
Oh, Joel. Joel feel like a young man.
Yeah. Don't talk about the gray, my beard. Then, yeah, absolutely. Just the youngest of men.
Not 21-year-old got stressed, too.
He got a little salt in his beard. He got a little salt in his beard. You know, like Mark Briscoe. And he got a whole bunch of kids, too. He got one kid, but it feels like a whole bunch of them because it's his first kid. But I got a whole bunch of kids at home. I got 57 of them in Delaware. And we're going to get on here. And it's man up.
Coming to the stage, Jay Briscoe.
I think what's good is that we go out on your Briscoe impression, because this is our last episode for the foreseeable future. So I think going out as Mark Briscoe is beautiful. The way
before
to go.
You go, you think that Fuego is going to WWE? He'll be in TNA by March 15th.
Oh, really? Okay.
He's going to be in El Paso. They'll be in Texas. I would not be surprised if he's heading to TNA. And of course, it's not like AEW and TNA have a working relationship of any kind right now.
Oh, wow.
Sure, yeah, that's not going to be the case, I don't think. Well,
reckless speculation, but because this is the show where we talk about the crossover, I think the crossover is in Fuego's court right now.
No, that would actually make a lot of sense. That would be super fun. I hope that is where he ends up going. And
TNA can always use more luchadors to lose to their other talent.
I mean,
they don't have Beast Mortals anymore.
They don't. And Laredo Kid can only take so many L's.
True.
Any other Spanish talent? Any other Mexican talent?
Well, Vikingo was there for a minute, right? Yeah.
And he, as quickly as he came, he left.
Yeah.
Yes, he did. So I don't know. I don't know who else can lose in that circuit, but Fuego certainly can. Put a mask on him. And, well, he does wear a mask, but he loses, and everyone's happy. Maybe not Fuego, but at least he'll get paid.
It'd be fun in the X division, but I'm not allowed to talk about the X division because I don't know anything about their X division according to their champions. So,
I've never seen professional wrestling a day in my life, so I'm right there with you, sis.
I apparently don't know anything about ring psychology. So,
can I interest you in a ladder match between two men who are very old at Sacrifice?
Bye, guys.
Bye, guys. SP3 said, I'm out of here. Kate said, I'm out of here. I don't blame her.
Good for us.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger. And future stronger you can get started now by saving $28 or more when you join today. You in? We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need to keep stepping it up. And free fitness training to help you mix up your routine. Plus, most clubs are open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends February 28th. See Home Club for details.